This meeting is being recorded.
Hey,
that's how you sound, robot.
Hey,
Sophie, don't defend the robot.
I'm not. I'm defending your very poor imitation of the robot.
Well, she would kill you if she had the chance. Sophie.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. Well, this is Behind the Bastards, a podcast where we support machine genocide, but by which I mean genocide of the machines,
we genocide
not
the machines.
By the
yeah.
machines.
Yeah.
Although one does cause the other. So strap in, watch the Animatrix, I guess. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Garrison's here.
Garrison's here. This is another reverse episode. Garrison, I don't have my shit together. Take it over. I'm going to drink a fucking Zevia.
Have fun with your fake sugar drink.
Oh, it's so much more real than real sugar. Powered sugar, I call it.
Okay. Today we're talking about a fun light topic that has no implications on public health and trust in how we view pandemics going forward. We're talking
Where's
about
public health going these days. Is it good? Seems like it's good.
Funny you mentioned that. As we're recording this, the Delta variant is the dominant strain of COVID here in the States, and pretty much everywhere else too. It's much more contagious.
Good.
And with many of the COVID preventative restrictions being removed across the country, cases are on a rapid rise basically everywhere. It's not like there's some places that are going to have to put restrictions back in place, and you know, start making the mask mandates again, because the variant has about 83% of cases in the States that are diagnosed is for the Delta variant, and it does have so-called breakthrough infections in some vaccinated people, mostly with asymptomatic or very mild cases. I think there's been about 5,000 deaths of people who are vaccinated with the Delta variant. So yeah, let's see. But more than 97% of people hospitalized for COVID are unvaccinated at the moment. So like, it's still like, it's yeah, like you need to get vaccinated. It's like the most of almost all people who are going to the hospital for COVID are unvaccinated. But the breakthrough infections for vaccinated people combined with the lack of masks and an increase in indoor socialization also raises the possibility that vaccinated people can carry and transmit the variants to other people, including, you know, other unvaccinated people, which you know, includes children and people with immune issues that prevent them from getting the vaccine, not just anti-vaxxers. So all of that, plus school opening back up in person for in August and September.
Yeah, but kids can't get sick, Garrison.
Yeah, I know Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I don't want to talk about, because like the reason why she's a problem is because we talk about her. She had like a very bad like interview of her go viral, and she like laughed about someone asked her a question about like kids dying, and she like laughed it off. And like just earlier that week, a 5-year-old in her own district died of COVID.
And it's funny. Funny is the wrong word. The existentially soul destroying thing, the black pilling thing, is that like there's so many liberals who pointed that out on Twitter. As if it matters.
As if it matters.
As if,
exactly.
Like, any of that will ever matter again. And
there
it just
is no
doesn't.
Gotchas.
It doesn't.
There's no gotchas. If anything, it makes it worse for us the more we do that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they're all still living in this world where like Jon Stewart can own Tucker Carlson on a televised debate, and it has an impact. And
Robert, look how well that turned out for Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, it didn't deal with Tucker Carlson. Maybe debating and owning people has never solved a single problem in the history of the world. Hans Litten owned Hitler pretty bad in a 31, I think. Didn't end up doing the trick. Never does, never will stop talking to people.
Yeah, so at this moment right now, we're not doing too great in terms of public health and like trust in public health either, you know, for a lot of reasons. But thankfully, in harsh times like this, we have a select few people who rise to the challenge to inform the public by grifting off a public health crisis to peddle snake oil products and further their career by being a beacon of disinformation. Today, we're talking about COVID anti-vaccine grifters. We'll be starting off with more of like of a classic like health and wellness grifter, and then move on to someone who's more dangerous, but whose motives are a little bit less clear.
Early on in the pandemic, we covered people like Gwyneth Paltrow, who was like things like that.
We're gonna be talking about one person who's doing, you know, some stuff like that.
Goop type fuckery. Got it.
The first person we're discussing in the vein of like that type of health and wellness kind of grifter is named Julie Mazzi, now I guess kind of former naturopathic doctor who practiced in Napa, California.
Wait, Garrison, are you about to tell me that this lady got kicked out of being a naturopath? Because that's like, to go back to the last episode we recorded, that's like getting kicked out of Action Park for being too drunk.
kind of. It's more like it's going to be hard to practice from jail.
Okay. No, but nothing. I just, as long as my opinion of naturopathy doesn't have to change, we're good.
No, it does not have to change. Dr. Julie Mazzi is 41 years old. And according to her website, she's a licensed primary care doctor whose aim and passion is to empower her clients to heal. She believes in and holds deep respect for everyone's innate ability to discover and find a path for their own well-being.
Question: has the word empower ever been used in a situation in which it was not like fundamentally toxic and life-threatening? Has anyone used the word empower and not been endangering the people they were empowering? Has that happened a single time?
No.
that's a good question, Robert. Yeah. And in this case, probably not. This what she's on this show, which means she has made it.
If somebody says they want to empower you, legally, if it's a stand your ground state, you can start shooting at them. Legally, you can. I think I'm fairly certain. I'm going to empower you with this knowledge.
So
defend yourself.
Dr. Mazzi received her doctorate in naturopathic medicine from the National University of Natural Medicine. In wait, guess what city, Robert?
It's not Mexico because you said city.
What city? It's
Dallas?
Come on.
Oh, is it Portland?
It's Portland, Oregon. It's Portland. Of course it is.
Okay.
It's
Portland. Yeah, because if you look up, if you do a fun, I'm going to make sure I get the Google right. If you Google, I think vaccine hesitancy map, and you can find, I believe that's the term you'll need to use. Yeah, you can get a vaccine hesitancy map of the United States. Portland, Oregon shines real bright on that particular map.
And the place where she got her degree from has like specialized doctors who give like vaccine hesitancy plans.
And that can vary from like people who are like, you should get vaccinate your kids, but you got to space out their MMR shots to three separate ones, which is what Wakefield's initial grift was.
Yes.
To obviously the whole, all vaccines are trying to microchip, murder your babies, yada, yada. Yeah.
So she got her doctorate in Portland, Oregon. I believe she was born here as well. At a very early age, Dr. Mazzi, quote, felt the call to be a healer and teacher. Her spirit of investigation came alive when she discovered her strong connection to the plant world. Fascinated by nutrition and the medical properties of food and herbs, she experimented with various diets and searched for exotic fruits, vegetables, and herbs to discover their effects for herself. Throughout her life, she experienced many different healing foods so that she may honestly refer her patients because she knows and understands from her own experience what these herbs do. So, here's the thing. For a lot of people, like myself included, in the States, the health system, we kind of think the health system sucks, right? Like, it does. Like there's a lot of elements of the health system and modern medicine.
I have some specific doctors I have nice things to say about. I have nothing nice to say about our medical system.
Modern medicine, by and large, especially in the States, it sucks. It's hard to navigate.
I'm not talking about, like, the ER itself or whatever. Because, again, as a general rule, people who are doing emergency medical work are rad. But the system itself that organizes and operates, I have very little positive to say about it.
Specifically, like, you know, we'll be talking a lot about, like, pharmaceuticals this episode. You know, people are prescribed a lot of things that don't necessarily help them and end up hurting them. And I kind of get the drive to search for more, like, historical and, like, natural.
Of course.
And natural remedies. Because, like, plants rock. Plants rule.
I'm a dude who keeps pounds of plantain, yarrow, comfrey, and a bunch of other, like, dried plant. Like, I grow some of that shit. I make my own salves and tinctures and whatnot. Like,
Many
some of it does stuff.
Yeah.
And you can generally find, like, studies. Again, one of the things, like Dr. Kava, who's a friend of both of ours, will point is like, there's no such thing as alternate medicine. If it's a plant-based medicine that does something, it's just medicine.
Yeah.
Like, you can look up medical benefits of like comfrey or yarrow for wound treatment or whatever. And like, there's studies on it. It's not, anyway, I've gone on this rant before.
Yeah, but like that's not what we're talking about with Dr. Mazi here. This is different because she, you know, as we'll see, she's someone who is like knowingly and actively, you know, charging people for false cures and doing active harm that puts people's lives in danger so that she can make a buck. There's some other interesting info from her site. Quote, Dr. Mazi comes from a family of notable educators. Her grandfather, Stephen E. Elper, founded both Portland State University and Olon College. So like PSU is actually is a pretty big deal in Portland. It's one of the biggest universities in the state, which is like an actual regular university. Her grandmother was a high school teacher for many years, and her mother taught kindergarten for 40 years, and her father was a college professor. So she comes from like a family of like of doctors and educators.
That they're real proud. I mean, so does Wakefield, though. His parents are both like very well-regarded doctors. Or were, I don't know if they're alive still. But
so
yeah,
okay. Dr. Mazi claims that she shares her family's passion to educate, quote, when someone has knowledge and an understanding of their health problem and the array of holistic and non-toxic therapies that are available to them, that patient is now at the helm of their own healing. And she actually, you know, this next part has some more sinister implications for how she was able to market herself and her business with such effective propaganda. Because before embarking on her naturopathic studies, Dr. Mazi earned an undergraduate's degree and master's degree in communication studies. So like she knows how to do marketing. Like she got a master's degree at Portland State University. So she knows how to market to people and sell herself. Quote from her website, her skills and training in interpersonal communication define her signature approach, which is to use the power of compassionate inquiry to guide each patient to value their own understanding and help discover what their best choices are for healing. So she basically markets herself as like an alternative to general to like a general care provider that can help you treat everything from arthritis, allergies, infections, all the way to like autoimmune disorders, ADHD, and cancer. This is all the things she advertises on her website that her like naturopathic remedies can help treat. And naturally, the past few months she's been offering so-called treatment and immunization for COVID-19.
Right.
Part of how Dr. Mazi makes money is through homeopathic medications. The fancy name is homeoprophylaxis immunization. I probably said that perfectly.
You mean prophylaxis immunization,
yeah.
I would guess?
Homeoprophylaxis.
Yeah, because like a prophylaxis, like a condom's a prophylaxis. It's a preventative treatment of some sort.
So yeah, this is a preventative treatment done with homeopathic medication.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's drinking water to cure your COVID.
It's drinking water. Yeah. So like the modern origins come from 18th century Germany. Homeopathy is by and large a debunked pseudoscience that claims highly diluted substances, including infectants themselves, can cure diseases, and that the more
you can
substance
check out our
diluted,
two-parter on homeopathy that includes two important facts, one of which is that most homeopathic medicines have no measurable amount of the medicine they're supposed to have, and that the one time they did, it killed a bunch of babies.
It killed a bunch of babies.
Hemlock or some shit. Yeah,
yeah. It was a deadly nightshade.
Deadly nightshade from Highlands All Natural Baby Killing Pills.
Yeah. But like, you know, they believe the more substance is diluted, the stronger the disease curing power is.
Absolutely.
You know? So most of these treatments are so diluted that base substances cannot even be detected. Which isn't, you know, a problem for homeopaths, since they actually claim that even if you can't detect it, the water molecules that you're consuming can actually remember what the base substance is that they've encountered and act the same in your body. The treatments are usually just placebos or harmless because they're nothing. But, you know, if they're improperly diluted, they could be deadly in the case of the homeopathic teething products, which contain deadly nightshade, which killed like 10 babies and caused like hundreds and hundreds of serious illnesses. So yeah. So in Dr. Mazi's case, she would sell immunization pellets that allegedly contained tiny amounts of various diseases that the body could then naturally build up an immunity to. So like It's the same thing with all these like grifters. It's like you're just inventing a bad version of vaccines. They're like, yeah, if you give a little bit of the thing, then your body can learn how to fight it. But it's like, but it's the bullshit version that is just completely nonsense. And she provides many of these homeopathic immunizations to children, which she then also falsely claims satisfy the vaccine requirements for California schools. So she gives out her patients like false papers saying that they've been immunized for these things by giving them these pellets so that they can still attend schools even if they're not vaccinated. So that's kind of the specific grift that she was doing before COVID. And then when COVID started, she, you know, and specifically like when the vaccine stuff started gaining popularity, she switched to a lot of focus on COVID and these COVID pellets. So it's unclear how long she's been selling these COVID immunization pellets, but it seems like they really started to take off around January when the vaccines were starting to get released to the general public, as she was offering these as a naturopathic alternative. It's good things. See, happening.
I mean, we need to do an episode one of these days on like the actual, because there's a whole, the reason that this is, I mean, it sounds like she did get in trouble, but the reason why most people do versions of this don't, and the reason why she got away with it for so long, is there is a whole legal framework set up to allow people to do this, and it's heavily embedded, particularly with the Utah Republican Party. Like, it's a big, it's all centered around Utah, as is the teen treatment industry for a number of reasons, but it's like, it's the same reason why that company we covered that does essential oils and stuff was able to get away with so much bullshit. Like, there's this whole legal infrastructure set up to allow people to sell folks medicine that isn't medicine and then protect them from liability when those people die. And it's hugely embedded in specifically the Republican Party. And the Democratic Party doesn't do anything about it because they're the Democratic Party. Why would they do anything about anything? And anyway, here we are.
Uh-huh.
It's been brewing for decades. Sorry. So,
in April, someone whose family members had gotten these COVID immunization pellets from Dr. Mazzi tipped off the Department of Health and Human Services office for the Inspector General to what was happening. And this prompted a federal and state investigation into Dr. Mazzi's operations. This is now quoting a recent DOJ report, quote, Mazzi used the COVID-19 pandemic to expand the pre-existing immunization scheme by selling immunization pellets that she fraudulently claimed in written documents and in consensually monitored recordings would provide lifelong immunity to COVID-19. Mazzi explained that the pellets contained, quote, a very minute amount of this COVID disease, unquote, that can result in, quote, infectious symptoms with COVID-19 or automatically flag the immune system's attention, inducing immunity.
So she's selling. The fun thing about this is she's telling people don't get the vaccine, it's dangerous, and then saying, and then pretending her nonsense medicine works the way a vaccine actually works.
Exactly.
Like, that's
exactly
incredible.
Quote, to encourage customers to purchase the pellets, Mazzi allegedly exploited disinformation and fear by falsely claiming the FDA-authorized COVID vaccines contained, quote, toxic ingredients. Mazzi further stated that to her customers, if you could provide these pellets to children for COVID-19 immunization, and that, quote, the dose is actually the same for babies. So that's nice.
Yeah, as a general rule, if someone says the dose is the same for babies, that should be a red flag. It never is.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be. They're very small.
Yeah, I mean, like, if my Coke dealer was like, and if you're giving it to your baby, the dose is the same, I would not find a different Coke dealer because it's hard. I mean, my God. But I would probably not hang out with him as much.
Robert.
Anyway.
Robert.
Sophie.
Trying to keep you employed.
Well, there's no law against cocaine.
It is decriminalized where you live.
Thank you, Garrison. So, see, Sophie? We're fine.
It's fine. Ta-da! In a recorded phone call, Mazzi instructed a fake client to, quote, pour roughly 2 to 4 pellets from the cap and dump them under your tongue. You do not have to drive yourself insane trying to pour exactly at 4 pellets. The exact number of pellets, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's
like real medicine, the dose is whatever.
Quote.
That is my favorite thing about the way California used to work is you would get a prescription for pot, and it would just be a prescription for as much marijuana as you could carry. So like whatever your problem was, if pot was prescribed, the dose was whatever.
She said, I mean, it's like an energy medicine. So more pellets doesn't mean stronger necessarily. So
okay, that makes sense. Sure.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
When asked what was in the pellets, Massey replied, this is from the COVID-19. It's made from the disease particles themselves.
Where is she getting her COVID?
I do not know what the exact process
is
for that.
Where is she getting this COVID-19?
As long as they can extract the germs from the virus, they can make the remedy. With this method, we are tapping into what's known as the innate immune system. That's like our higher intelligence part of the immune system.
Oh, no.
I have no idea where she's getting these pellets. The feds don't clarify where she's getting these. We have no clue.
That's the perfect way to frame it, because all these idiots already believe in like the you only use 10% of your brain.
Yeah.
You know, your innate intelligence, your instincts know more than like, you know, book learning can ever like. So, yeah, I get why this works. Okay.
So, do you know who doesn't sell COVID-19 pellets?
We ought to.
We could.
We could.
She made a lot of money.
We could, too. Sophie, we're getting into the COVID-19 pellet business.
We are not.
Yeah, we're selling pellets.
Go back to talking about your cocaine dealer. I liked that better.
Mail us money. I will send you pellets and I will use it to buy cocaine.
There we go.
And that's the ad break. All right.
We back.
We are indeed back, and I'm online trying to order disease particle pellets to see how much I can sell them for on the street. Mm-hmm.
You want some pellets?
Hey kid, want some COVID pellets? I don't know the exact process for it, but as long as they extract the germs, it works.
I put a virus in them. Eat it a lot. Take as many as you want.
Lifelong immunity. It might make you sick, but that's fine. That just means it's working.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Back to the DOJ report. Quote, Mazzi also provided CDC COVID-19 vaccination record cards to her customers with instructions on how to fraudulently complete the cards to falsely make it appear as if a customer had received two doses of the Moderna vaccine. As a part of her scheme, Mazzi provided customers with specific Napa, California Moderna vaccine lot numbers to enter onto the cards and with instructions on how to select the purported dates on which they had received the Moderna vaccines to evade suspicion. The CDC confirmed to federal investigators that actual Moderna lot numbers were used, but the CDC and the California Health Department don't know how Mazzi got them, because like she's not authorized to distribute or give out vaccines, so like they don't know where she got these numbers from. I mean, she probably just knows someone who told her or something, but like it's kind of unclear what exactly happened for how she got these cards and how she got these numbers. Yeah. So the original tipster who tipped off the feds got a dose of these pellets over the phone from Mazzi for like a single dose of them. Doses, we're unclear how many pellets that is, but you know, a dose for $243. Now we don't know how many people purchased these COVID immunization pellets from Mazzi. According to financial records, federal investigators obtained from Square, which is like a digital payment processing company, Mazzi received approximately $221,000 from over 1,000 transactions between January 2020 and May of 2021. Most of those transaction records do not note specifically what the payments were for. At least 25 of them that total to be like almost $8,000 are indicated to be for COVID treatment, and 34 other transactions are noted for being for homeopathic treatment and, you know, pellet related purchases. On July 14th of 2021, Julie Mazzi was arrested, and she's been charged with one count of wire fraud and one count of making false statements related to public care matters. She's the first person to face federal charges related to allegedly selling fake vaccines and cards. She could face up to 20 years in prison, and she is facing hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines at the moment. But the thing is, like, there's a lot more doctors who are doing the exact same thing. This is just the first one to get, like, caught and in trouble. Like this isn't an uncommon thing. You can find this in basically every city, like every major American city. You can find someone doing this exact thing, and they don't even have to be doctors. Like back in May, an owner of a bar got arrested on state charges for faking and selling vaccination cards, quoting the New York Times, quote, a California bar owner was arrested this week on charges that he had sold fake COVID-19 vaccination cards at his business, prosecutors say. The owner, Todd Anderson of Acampo, California, was arrested and charged with identity theft, forging government documents, and falsifying medical records, and having an unloaded, unregistered firearm. The COVID vaccine bar scam was also found out by someone tipping off the California Alcohol Beverage Board. This thing is we're getting like news stories about people selling these fake cards every month. Of course, you can find a lot of these on like eBay and stuff. Those are harder to kind of crack down on. This isn't a super uncommon thing. As bad as people like Dr. Masi are, at least their damage is relatively isolated. You know, like she had over 12,000 followers on Facebook, but she wasn't trying to become like a social media figure or anything. She didn't even talk about COVID or her homeopathic like pellets on her page, because you know she knew she was doing crimes. But it's like she didn't talk about that kind of stuff. Not the same case for the next guy we are talking about. The next guy we're talking about is Dr. Michael Yeadon. My old parkour friend actually told me about this guy, and for the past few months we've been kind of like trying to dig as much information up about this guy as possible, because he has a weird thing going on. Dr. Michael Yeadon is commonly referred to as the former vice president of Pfizer and the former chief science officer there. That's what he's called in the media. It's not totally true, but it's true enough that people can use that to be convincing. In the beginning of April of 2020, he started his crusade against both COVID vaccines and like trying to uncover the hidden truth about the pandemic in general. Now, he is like a slippery little bastard. Like his intentions are pretty muddy, even after looking into him, you know, a lot for the past few weeks. Listening to like all of the interviews he has, going through his like archived Twitter, I don't know what exactly his grift is. I don't know if he's like a true believer in what he's saying, or he's just trying to like find a new thing to make money. He's like a super weird dude. But the one thing that's clear is that last April something changed in Yeadon. Like he became like a different person.
That's always sad when people change.
Yeah, it's like something happened which either caused him to snap or he saw financial, you know, prospect. First, a little background on Yeadon himself. He's currently married and he has two adult children. And he's talked openly about having a tough childhood. He said his mother committed suicide when he was only 18 months old, and his father, who was also a doctor, abandoned him when he was 16. He was saved by a local social worker and adopted by a Jewish family, who apparently, like he says, like turned his life around. In the 80s, Yeadon was a student at the University of Surrey. So that's a place in the England part of the world. So he was a student there. He got a bachelor's in biochemistry.
Did you just say the England part of the world?
Yeah, in like that section on like the other side.
Yeah, in the England part of the world. Yeah, we know where it is.
It's in a town called Guildford or something.
I'm so sorry, Jake.
It's probably
Henry
pronounced completely different than that, but the British have been everything wrong.
It sounds fake.
Yeah, it all is.
But so yeah, he received a bachelor's.
Jake.
No, we never apologize to British people.
I apologize to Hanrahan.
Well, I do not.
No, yeah, absolutely not. He received a bachelor's in biochemistry and toxicology in 1985, and he got a PhD in pharmacology in 1988. During his time at the university, he was researching opioids and how they affect the central nervous system. After graduating, he worked at a drug and allergenic research lab in the UK for a few years, and then in 1995, he began working for Pfizer UK. And by 2006, he did become the chief science officer and vice president of the allergy and respiratory R&D department. So not Pfizer as a whole, this specific small department. But that doesn't really matter, because when you talk about this, like in media, you can just say the former VP of Pfizer, and then you're like, oh, wow, the former vice president is saying that vaccines are killing people. We should listen to him. Which, I mean, he didn't. He was working. The unit he worked on was developing drugs to treat asthma and like respiratory obstructions. So he was like the head of like the allergy unit. Most of the reporting about Pfizer and him say that he left in 2011, which is technically true, but I think paints a slightly different distorted picture. There was an old Forbes article written by one of his former friends back in 2017 that talks about Ian and his break off from Pfizer. Quote, Dr. Michael Yean, the 17-year-old Pfizer veteran and Pfizer's R&D and head of Pfizer's R&D unit for the allergy section in Sandwich, England. Okay. Again, not a real place. Sandwich, England? Yeah. No.
No, they're fucking with us. They're fucking with us.
No. It's no way.
They've been fucking with us for years.
But anyway, Mike was told in the fall of 2010 that Pfizer was closing the allergy and respiratory disease program, and his own role as the chief science officer of the group was being eliminated. Rather than seek employment elsewhere, Mike had other ideas. So he didn't like leave Pfizer. His whole branch got dissolved, and his job got eliminated. And instead of trying to find new work at Pfizer, he had the idea to start his own research company. After talking to some of the higher ups at Pfizer, he got permission to license like Pfizer compounds, like the actual chemicals they use and molecules and stuff. And eventually he found some investors in the U.S. and he actually got the Pfizer investing board to also invest in his new company. So he eventually got enough capital to get started. Quoting Forbes again, at this point the virtual company known as Ziarko. They pick the worst names for these biotech companies. They're all absolutely nonsense. But the company, now known as Ziarko, was off and running. The team focused on its most promising asset, the ZPL-389, an orally active histamine that is used to treat eczema. So he worked. So this guy started this company that was working on eczema medications for a few years. And then in 2017, 5 years after he started the company, the Switzerland-based pharmaceutical company Novartis, again, were terrible names.
Novartis.
No, Novartis. Yeah, yeah, like they're actually pretty big. But I just don't know how to say biotech company names because they're nonsense. But they bought Yeadon's company for an upfront payment of $325 million. And they promised to pay another $95 million if certain milestones in the drug treatments were achieved. They were counting on the anti-eczema drug to be a hit, and they claimed it had the potential to be like a new first-class oral treatment to moderate to severe eczema. Now, it's unclear how much money Yean himself made from the acquisition, but in January 2020, he tweeted that he made like millions off of the founding and growing of this tech company. Which is true. Like he made a lot of money. Like he probably didn't keep all $300 million, but he got a sizable fortune. In last July, Novartis disclosed that
Garrison, you know it's bad when I'm correcting your pronunciation.
I don't know how to. It's a Switzerland-based biotech company. There's too many languages and too many nonsense for me to know
I'm
how to pronounce.
I'm fairly certain when we hired you, we asked, "Do you speak Switzerland?" And you said yes.
That was the first and only question we asked.
Only question.
Yeah. So,
but last July, the company disclosed that it had discontinued the experimental eczema clinical development program and had to take an almost $500 million write-down on it. They said a spokesperson for the company said that they decided to terminate the program after disappointing efficiency data in the early stage clinical trials. So they bought this company in hope that this drug would be the next big thing. Turns out the drug doesn't work. And Yean got tons of money out of the deal. So he wins. No one else does. And also, while he was doing his own work at his company, he also was working as a consultant for a few different U.S.-based biotech companies. And he hasn't really been up to much since he sold his company. In 2018, he said he had to like partially retire due to medical issues, but also that was a year after he made tons of money selling his company. So he could just be like done. Cause like he's like in his 50s or 60s or whatever. So like he can just not work anymore. Cause he has probably had hundreds, like at least $100 million, like so much money. Which now leads us to the plague. During the first few months of the pandemic, Eden seemed like a normal doctor, like a normal guy with no weird conspiracy theories. In March of 2020, as the coronavirus was raging on in the UK, Eden would publicly express support for developing a vaccine. He tweeted out that, quote, COVID-19 is not going away until we have a vaccine or herd immunity. All that we can do right now is slow its spread. A week later, he tweeted, quote, a vaccine might be along towards the end of 2021 if we're really lucky. You know, someone on Twitter replied to him saying that vaccines harm many, many people. And Eden replied, okay, please refuse it, but do not impede its flow or try to get others who want to get it to not get it. Thanks. So he just seems like a normal doctor man who's like, no, yeah, vaccines work. This pandemic is bad. We just need to stop. Yeah. We need to stop the spread right now. And that's it. So like nothing of note. Someone named Mathai Manman, who is the global head of research and development for
Will Garrison
division.
Pronounce any names correctly?
No, I think he's not, because he lied to us correct. At his intake exam.
The name is spelled Math AI and then Mammon, which is ma'am, then men.
I bet you it's Mathai Garrison. Jesus Christ. Stop shitting all over Swiss culture, Garrison.
I can't. Yeah, that probably is.
Garrison probably doesn't know how to use Excel either. He's just like.
I use Google Sheets.
And you've never seen Wayne's World either.
That's Garrison. Just the youth these days.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the head of research and development for the pharmaceutical division of Johnson & Johnson posted a link on LinkedIn last year. That his company had started clinical trials of a vaccine, and Eden responded, lovely, nice to see this milestone. So, like, again, normal doctor man, nothing weird. And then April came, and the UK's lockdown got extended. And as soon as the lockdown got extended in April, Eden started to drastically change his tone around the whole pandemic. He grew increasingly frustrated about the lockdown extension and began ranting online about how lockdowns don't work, and he began the early stages of crafting his own conspiracy theories about governmental control and fake COVID testing. So something happened in August that either broke him or he figured that he can make money off this. I don't know which it is because he already had lots of money.
He's an older guy. Some people I've heard theories that some men, as they age, they have these little bitty micro strokes that usually aren't like noticed or diagnosed. And it leads to, because like a lot of guys have these weird personality shifts when they get past a certain age and, you know, maybe he's having a bunch of little bitty strokes is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So Reuters put together a pretty good piece talking about how the
Reuters.
Type of things
Reuters scares
Reuters. It's not Reuters.
Oh no, it's Reuters.
God. Really? Wow.
Reuters.
Why did they spell it like that then?
Because it's pronounced Reuters. Right. You didn't grow up with the TV on. You never like listened to TV news.
I learned spelling from Christian fascist propaganda.
Yes, it's Reuters, and the AP is an app.
It's not app?
No.
It's not the app store?
It's not the app store. That's a different store.
Just so you know that in Australia, a rooter is actually somebody who fucks a lot.
Yeah, it is.
No idea.
That's rooting. Yep.
Yeah. Huh.
And other fun Australia fact, they call drugs, I think particularly meth, gear.
Cool.
Which I have always found cool.
I like that.
I think that's pretty rad, actually. Yeah.
Anyway, Reuters.
I can't.
There's no O. There's no O in the word. Reuters?
Reuters.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
Reuters.
Yeah, but there's no I in team, and we still pronounce it Tim. So what are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
Well, so Reuters put together a piece trying to like break down how Eden started changing his tone on certain things. quote, when Britain was still in its first lockdown last spring, he declared, quote, there's nothing especially frightening about COVID-19. It'll all fade away. It's just a common garden virus to which the world overreacted. Which, I mean, that was a pretty common, you know, anti-COVID sentiment at the time. Like, oh, it's just like the cold. And also, he predicted in a subsequent tweet that it was, quote, unlikely that the death toll in the UK would reach 40,000, which that thing is... almost
it's tripled. Not much higher than 40,000, right? Let's just Google here.
Almost quadrupled since then.
Death toll UK. Oh yeah, just 130,000.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
Basically 40,000.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so in April he started changing his tone about things, and then by September of 2020, Yeadon's statements were starting to attract attention beyond just Twitter. At the time, a movement had emerged in Britain against lockdowns and other restrictions meant to curb the disease. He co-authored a lengthy piece on a website called Lockdown Skeptics. It declared that the pandemic as an event in the UK was essentially complete and that there is, quote, no biological principle that that leads us to expect a second wave. Britain soon entered a much more deadly second wave about like a week or two later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like things you shouldn't say are there won't be a second wave, you know. This yes. ship is unsinkable, that sort of stuff. Avoid those statements.
So, like, looking at his old tweets, you either see a man, like, purposely switching to bad faith, or you see a man, like, radicalizing himself by constructing false suppositions and then insisting that that's the way things are and that everyone else's perceptions are wrong. Like here's a tweet from, like, May of 2020. Quote, there isn't going to be a second wave. Professional epidemiologists, as those such in Sweden, know this. It's biologically and mathematically impossible in the UK, since a large portion of people badly hit countries have already had the virus. So like he creates these like false realities, and then when the world does not follow his like bad math or logic, he thinks that there's some grand conspiracy making things go wrong because he's convinced that what he's saying is true, or he's acting in bad faith. It's
little A, little B.
Probably he's acting more in bad faith now, but I think back in 2020, I think he was actually just kind of radicalizing himself.
That makes sense.
So in October, he wrote a second article for lockdownskeptic.org, where he says, quote, there's absolutely no need for vaccines to extinguish the pandemic. I've never heard such nonsense talked about vaccines. You do not need to vaccinate people who are not at risk from a disease. So if that doesn't make any sense to you, good, it shouldn't. See, because Yeadon believes that at the beginning of the pandemic, somewhere between 30 and 50% of people were already immune from COVID-19. Because it's a coronavirus and we've had those before. He's written that even the common cold will probably make you immune from COVID-19. Now, that's not how things work at all, but that doesn't matter.
Everyone's bad at everything.
Yeah. So, yes. At this point, he's ranted on Twitter a lot and written two very bad, easily debunked articles on a very reputable website, Lockdown Skeptic. But like no one knew who he was at this point. He was just like some dude screaming into the void. Until late October, when the Daily Mail gave him the opportunity to write a column. So Yeadon in October wrote a column for the Daily Mail headlined, Three Facts the Number 10 Experts Got Wrong. Dr. Michael Yeadon says claims that the majority of the population is susceptible to COVID are false, that's only 7% of infected people are false, and that the virus death rate of 1% are false. So he wrote this big thing, and it largely just repeats the lies that Yeadon wrote in his two previous Lockdown Skeptic articles, but slightly repackaged in a more digestible language.
Yeah, the largest newspaper.
The largest newspaper in the world. It declared that the deaths caused by COVID-19, which then totaled about 45,000 in Britain, which Yeadon thinks is a gross overestimate. But he thinks that they'll fizzle out anyway, and that we should be immediately allowed to resume to normal life. Of course, since then, it's killed a lot more people. But the Daily Mail op-ed went viral among, you know, the expected corners of the internet. Because, like, it's the thing, like, Pfizer VP says that these things that the experts are saying are all wrong. The AP did a piece on app, as we call it, did a piece on that discussed the impact of Yeadon's column. Quote, screenshots of the article have amassed hundreds of thousands of views on Facebook and Instagram by accounts opposing masks and vaccination. Several posts echoed Yeadon's comments with claims that the COVID pandemic is over. So, like, he at this point, he just wanted lockdowns and masks to stop. That's what he was claiming. He had a whole bunch of fake claims about, you know, the science of things. But, like, what he wanted out of it was just to people to go back to normal. And some social media posts circulating suggest that Yeadon's opinions were credible because of his role as the former chief scientist of the Pfizer allergy respiratory section. You know, one quote on Facebook said, "Here we have it. The company making the vaccine says the pandemic is over, and healthy people do not need a vaccine." So, well, yeah, it's the thing. Like, you know, you only need like one small thing that you can then extrapolate into a catchy bit. And then it becomes the company making the vaccine says the pandemic is over and healthy people do not need vaccinations.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, this problem keeps recurring itself. There's that guy at that town hall Biden did who like asked him, you know, talked about how as a small business owner, the different government like welfare programs were hurting his business and stuff. And you look it up and it's like, well, he owns 29 restaurants. And he's just angry that he has to pay people more. Because he was bitching about having to increase pay, and like, as a small business owner, I can't afford it. And it's like, yeah, dude, you own almost 30 restaurants. You're not small, but all that gets put across in like the fucking soundbite is like Biden's hurting small business owners or whatever. Nobody ever does any additional work. That's all you need to be able to say is like,
especially
yeah,
guy, not on Facebook.
The head of Pfizer's virology lab says it's over.
Exactly.
It's like, well, no, he was years ago, and he wasn't even
the virology lab. It was the allergy lab.
Yeah, it wasn't that lab.
But like yeah, but that was what was repeated. You know. Facebook is a hellhole of death. And yep. Well, in lighter news, do you have anything you want us to sell, Robert?
I have a book. It's called After the Revolution. You can find it for free.
We're not done. I'm doing an ad break.
Oh, you're doing an ad break? Yeah. Jesus.
No, we have a lot of bad shit to talk about still.
You can't do that to me. Garrison,
I was implying that you wanted to sell dick
pellets.
Dick pellets.
Someone who's going to punish you.
Dick pellets ads.
You're in trouble.
Okay.
For this and for the Swiss thing.
Swiss thing. Reuters.
God damn it. All right, we're back. Sophie and I are laughing at Garrison.
We have to talk more. I have to say some British names here, so bear with me.
No, God.
Yeah,
no.
I know. They're the worst, right? Anything British is this, so much worse.
These ones are actually...
And we came from them. You're even more directly British than I am. And my God, we can't get... Like, it's easier to talk about fucking Ukrainian names than British ones.
These names aren't actually that bad. But so, soon after his Daily Mail piece, the British House of Commons had a debate about the government's response to the pandemic, and a parliamentarian named Richard Drax called Yeadon an eminent scientist. And
cool
cited, and it is a cool name. But he cited the view that the virus is both manageable and nearing its end. And by November, Yeadon started appearing in videos for anti-lockdown groups, online, primarily on Facebook. So he was filming videos in his garage for these different, you know, anti-lockdown groups. As the discussion of the upcoming Pfizer vaccine picked up, the optics of like the ex-VP of Pfizer helped Yeadon gain a dedicated following. One Facebook post carries a video from November in which Yeadon claims that the pandemic is fundamentally over, and the post has been viewed over a million times. His videos on Facebook are extremely popular, and they're shared by various pages. You know, lots of like COVID hesitancy pages, a lot of COVID skeptic pages, a lot of vaccine skeptic pages, a lot of like patriot pages, you know, all these types of things. Because he's like... becoming their new celebrity because he's, you know, the ex-VP of Pfizer. So as December came and Pfizer and Moderna were about to release their vaccines for doctors, Yeadon made a very hard pivot to a complete focus on anti-COVID vaccine rhetoric. On December 1st of 2020, Yeadon and a German doctor named Wolfgang Wodarg. Wodarg. Wodarg.
Wolfgang Wodarg.
Yeah, that works. Him. Yeah. They filed an application and a petition with the European Medicine Agency and the FDA for the immediate suspension of all COVID vaccination studies, in particular the biotech and Pfizer one. Quoting the petition, the current study designs for phase 2 and 3 trials of the Pfizer vaccine are inadequate to adequately assess effectiveness. Wow, I do not know how to say that word. Effectiveness. That is weird.
Efficacy?
Efficacy.
It's efficacy, Garrison. Cool. No, we're keeping this in.
No, cut that.
Somebody else has to be mocked for not pronouncing things right.
The petition.
It's efficacy, Garrison.
The petitioner and public will suffer irreparable harm if the actions requested therein are not granted. Because once the FDA licenses the COVID-19 vaccination, both governments and employers will make the product mandatory in general for airline or international travel. If the assignment of cases and non-cases during the course of the trial is not accurate, the vaccine will not have been properly tested. If the vaccine is not properly tested, important public policy decisions regarding its use will be based on misleading evidence. So basically, he wanted to stop COVID vaccine testing because he thought the vaccine would pass the test. And if the vaccine passes the test, the people will start getting vaccinated. Logic doesn't fully compute, but you know, he's doing it for his own ends. But there was one particular part of the 40-page long petition application thing that really caught on and has had lasting effects. In the letter, Yeadon and the German doctor man stated that the Pfizer vaccine blocks a protein that's key in the formation of the placenta in mammals. They claim that it's possible that women who receive the vaccine could become infertile. So that is where the vaccine causes sterilization thing started from. It all comes back to this guy and his little application. This got reported by tons of, you know, not very reputable outlets, but it's still very influential. You know, ex head of Pfizer says that COVID vaccine causes female sterilization is, you know, the types of posts and headlines from, you know, quack sites that got very popular. Google searches for COVID vaccine and infertility skyrocketed by over 70% in the days after this petition thing got posted. Quoting Reuters, it's impossible to measure the impact of Yeadon's claim that COVID-19 vaccinations could cause female infertility. Anecdotally though, many women have bought in. Bonnie Jacobson, a waitress in Brooklyn, New York, can't recall where she first heard about the fertility issue, but she told us that it has made her decision more hesitant to take the vaccine, as she'd like to have a child sooner than later. That's my main concern, she said. Let more research come out. After initially declining to get vaccinated, she said, she got fired at the tavern she works at. So this the whole fertility thing really, really caught on. Bloomberg News.
Yeah, and it's you're already so scared when you get pregnant, right? Because like suddenly you've got this thing growing in you, you're trying to make a person. Like there's a lot of scary things about that, and it's just so easy for people to slide right in there.
Yes.
With their bullshit, and it's very frustrating.
Bloomberg News put together a piece tracking COVID misinformation in Asia, the past few months, and they note that claims originated by Yeadon have caught on and spread way beyond just, you know, Yeadon's writing and videos. You know, like the stuff he's saying is now just being repeated by other people. This past May, following Yeadon's path, like a dozen Singapore doctors wrote an open letter questioning the safety of the mRNA vaccines, including a claim that the shots would change one's DNA. So, like, you see a lot of this stuff that Yeadon started to talk about is getting talked about by other doctors who are then making, you know, similar, like, petitions and stuff in their local areas. Things here in the States are going about as well as you would expect with this type of stuff, because Yeadon has turned into a new anti-vax, celebrity. He's, like, he's the new big guy. Reuters points out that, like, references to Yeadon's petition appear on the website of a group founded by influential vaccine skeptic Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has been recently banned from Instagram.
If only Sirhan had had more bullet. Well, he was a kid back then. Still, either way.
Yeah. There was another popular vaccine skeptic, Mikhail Malkin reported that shared Yeadon's concern about fertility issues in a column last month under the headline "Pregnant Woman, Beware the COVID Shots." And a blog post with an alarmist headline, "Head of Pfizer Research, COVID Vaccine is Female Sterilization," was shared thousands of times on Facebook. He got very popular in December and January for this particular kind of thing that he fabricated. A lot of his former colleagues at Pfizer say, like, they no longer recognize, like, Yeadon as the guy they once knew. You know, they used to describe him as, like, knowledgeable and intelligent, who was, you know, very evidence-based, and generally didn't like to be, like, in the public eye very much. An old friend of his who holds a degree in molecular biology replied to a post Yeadon made on Twitter, because in December, Yeadon made a post on Twitter with a sign that said, "Ditch the mask." And Yeadon's old friend was like, "Mike, what the hell? Are you actively trying to kill people? Do you realize how much you're doing is wrong and your suggestion will result in deaths?" And he had, like, a number of other friends from Pfizer who have, you know, talked about how they used to have, like, coffee with him and had a good time, that he always seemed knowledgeable and intelligent and a good scientist. And I obviously disagree with Mike in his most recent views. This does not sound like the guy I knew 20 years ago. So, like, a lot of weird stuff. All of his old coworkers and colleagues are just baffled. Another old friend of his was recounted hearing Yeadon in a radio interview last year. Quote, there was a tone in his voice that was nothing like I've ever remembered of Mike. He was very angry and very bitter. So it is. There's a lot of his friends are just extremely confused. Earlier this year, a group of his former Pfizer colleagues wrote him, like, a private letter, and a version of it was sent to Reuters. One section reads, "We've become."
You're gonna keep calling it Reuters the whole episode.
I thought about it and I decided against it for this particular one. I can go back later if we want. But, quote, "We have become acutely aware of your views on COVID-19 over the past few months. The single-mindedness, lack of scientific rigor, and one-sided interpretation and of often poor quality data is far removed from the Michael Yeadon we once respected and enjoyed working with." They also noted his, you know, vast following on social media and the claim that infertility has spread globally. And they ended it by saying, "We're very worried that you're putting people's health at risk." So Yeadon's particular background gives him so much potential danger, you know, even more than, like, the guy who started the renaissance in anti-vaccine stuff. I mean, like, that guy's responsible for a lot of deaths too, but, like, because of Yeadon's connection to Pfizer, he has, like, a lot of optics potential for these type of, like, conspiracy theory sites and anti-vax sites. And since January, as COVID vaccinations have become more available, Yeadon's gotten fully drawn into the anti-vax and conspiracy theory media ecosystem. In March of 2021, it was announced that he was going to be headlining the Awakening World Truth Summit. It's like the big conspiracy theory convention. It's been previously headlined by the likes of Alex Jones and David Icke. I watched his panel. It was very bad. And then in May, June, and July, he has really kicked up the number of interviews for, like, podcasts and documentaries. And he's starting to give, like, a lot of, like, in-person speeches at, like, rallies and stuff. I've watched tons of hours of his speeches and stuff, and he's getting better at public speaking. He's developing a set of talking points that really get, like, a reaction out of people. Like, he's figuring out, like, what things he says can get people the most, like, riled up. And then he's, like, you know, polishing different sections of speeches so he can, like, be a much better, you know, and much more influential speaker. His current kind of greatest hits, of, like, claims that he's saying, probably the one he says the most is about asymptomatic infection. He thinks that if you are not symptomatic, you cannot transmit any disease. He thinks that, like, lockdowns are pointless because the only way you can transmit disease is if you are showing symptoms. Otherwise, you're not actually sick. That's the thing he repeats all the time. And he thinks that lockdown, because of this false claim that he's convinced himself of, he thinks that the lockdowns are just, like, a government plot to control us, and, you know, conspiracy XXXXX, whatever. Another one of his favorites is saying that variants aren't actually a problem. because they either don't really exist or they're so similar to the initial strain that everyone should have immunity by now anyway. And we already know that that's not how COVID immunity works in the first place. There were people who got sick at the beginning of the pandemic who got COVID again, not long after. Like, that's not how it works, but that does not matter to Yiden. And then besides all the stuff we've already mentioned, because relatively a lot of people, because so many people have gotten at least one dose by now, Yiden has kind of switched from talking about vaccines to talking about booster shots a lot. He insists that booster shots will kill you. He thinks that booster shots aren't a thing, and they were invented specifically for this pandemic to kill people. In late April 2021, in an hour-long interview, Yiden, as described as the former vice president and chief scientist advisor, a video of him went viral on Facebook, claiming that the global government-led vaccine rollouts were a ploy to initiate a mass depopulation event. Specifically, Yiden said that recipients of the booster shots will die within 2 years. So he's had this mass depopulation kind of thing going on ever since April. That's kind of been another one of his things he talks about a lot. In terms of, governmental control. He's like, all the governments decided to invent COVID at the same time, and they're planning something to depopulate the masses or whatever. This is the kind of things he's talking about now. He does think that, COVID's real. He just thinks that most of us are already immune because we've already had a common cold before. Or he thinks that the treatments are extremely manageable. He's a big supporter of hydroxychloroquine. He thinks that can save everybody. He's like, the fact that doctors have not been giving that out means that doctors should be prosecuted for crimes because they're willfully not giving out this life-saving drug. And the last thing he's been harping on a lot is vaccine passports. And he's still going on about this, saying vaccine passports are the end of liberal democracy. And he's constantly saying next week vaccine passports are going to happen. It's always upcoming. We're always just on the curb of making this vaccine passport thing. I mean,
they must be really psyched over Macron's latest news.
Yeah. He is losing his mind.
Yeah. I'll bet.
He's getting a lot of press. He's getting a lot of interviews in obscure podcasts, but podcasts that have a big following, though, because this is a very popular corner of the internet. The videos of his speeches and interviews have gone extremely popular on Facebook and Instagram, with tens of thousands of views, sometimes millions, on the platform, despite Facebook's effort to remove such content. Even when they do remove the content, that doesn't make things a whole lot better. Because I found that many people, instead of just posting videos straight to Facebook, are now sharing BitChute links to videos of Yiden talking about all of this shit. One BitChute link I found that it's an hour-long video, just passed over 300,000 views. I think it got 50,000 views in the past week. And that particular video on BitChute ends in a pretty disturbing way. And I've seen Yiden have the same discussion in various interviews since then. I'm gonna do a dramatic reading of the end of Yiden's video here. The Nazi doctors were pretty much all hanged for their crimes against humanity, and I'm sorry to say that NHS doctors who are administering these agents, vaccines, to people who are not at risk from the virus, because he believes people aren't at risk because they're already immune, and are not telling them that they are experimental, are also breaching the Nuremberg Code, and I believe they're
Nuremberg.
Nuremberg.
All right, Nuremberg.
My mouth doesn't like. So I have. There's something happened to me as a kid, and I had weird. I have a very narrow palate and extremely high top of my mouth, and it makes a lot of pronunciation extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. Now I could have had this fixed as a kid, but I didn't.
Is that your excuse, Garrison?
Yes.
For not being able to say Nuremberg.
Yeah, that's my excuse for not being able to say Nuremberg.
Robert,
Nuremberg.
What's your Nuremberg. Excuse for not being able to say Ariana Grande or Beyonce?
I've never heard of either of those people.
And he closes this quote by saying that, they are breaching the code, and I think there should be a Nuremberg too. And that's the thing he talks about a lot in interviews. He talks about how hanging of NHS doctors are just around the corner. We're going to have to we're going to have to like put these people on trial and hang them publicly for their crimes. And that's the
good news is
thing.
If it really is a sequel to Nuremberg, almost no one responsible will be punished.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, I got bad news about what happened to those Nazi doctors. Yeah, not all of them were hanged.
Bad news about the Einsatzgruppe.
And he also gives like impassioned pleas for like trying to spread this type of information. Find other people like you who aren't quite sure but are suspicious. Find someone else to talk to, and if you find someone that says, "Oh, I'm glad you said that because I thought this was lies too," then both of you can go find a third person. And once you've woken up and realized that you're being lied to, it's very frightening. Find someone else who feels the same. Don't be afraid to be a little bit wrong. The people around you don't know any better than you do. If they're experts, and they probably won't be, but if they are, they'll be able to tell what you're saying is actually true. And if they, like you, are just suspicious but not really experts, then they're not really going to be able to tell that you're wrong. So if you think something's wrong, you're right. Go tell someone else who feels the same. Never look back. It's your last chance to risk your own liberty and your children's and your grandchildren's. So none of that makes any sense. Totally baffling. Because, like, he's talking about don't be afraid to be a little bit wrong about the things you're spreading. So, like, that was one of the most bizarre ends of his video, because it's like he's telling people to be wrong about these things and he almost knows it, because, like, ever since April, he has just gone fully down this conspiracy rabbit hole. He is, like, he is becoming the new celebrity in this corner of the internet, and that's kind of how he's developed into a person. We're gonna end with some slightly good news. On this last February, some old tweets of his surfaced. By then, Ian's account had almost 100,000 followers on Twitter. But some old tweets of his, like a few dozen of them, which are extremely bigoted and Islamophobic, got screenshotted and shared around. Many of them were captured in time by archive.org. And the next day, Eden made his last tweet saying, "I'll soon be gone." And then 2 days later, his Twitter account was gone. His LinkedIn profile has also changed. He's now saying that he's fully retired. And a month later, he made a final update on LinkedIn that says, "I now seek opportunities to relocate to the USA and to continue opposing inappropriate policy responses to COVID-19. So he's planning to move to the States and continue this vaccine misinformation celebrity thing that he's been doing, and that is where he's at now. The summer of 2021, he has gotten extremely popular. He is the spokesperson for this entire movement. He's polishing his talking points, and he's like constructed this false reality that he now like lives in and is saying things that to us make no sense but are extremely influential to people who are already skeptical or who already aren't, you know, don't like vaccines very much because of his connections to the Pfizer company. So that's why, like, his initial intentions are a little bit murky. It's hard to see what exactly he's doing. Like, he doesn't take donations or anything. He may be being paid for like appearances, but it's unclear if he has like any monetary goals from this. Because I know, like, you know, the previous doctor vaccine guy, you know, invested in those other vaccine companies, right? To sell the three separate vaccines instead of the one altogether. We don't know if Eden has any financial kind of things at stake here, or if he's just doing this because he actually believes in it. But he's getting tens of thousands of views on BitChute, hundreds of thousands of views on BitChute, millions of views on Facebook, and his just popularity has skyrocketed in the past few months ever since he went down like the conspiracy theory rabbit hole. And that is Michael Eden, former allergy researcher, and now the newest celebrity in the anti-vax world.
Well, I hope he falls off of the side of a cliff.
I hope he,
I would like that for him. I would like it if a bad thing happened and he was not around anymore. I don't know. What else can you say?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's nothing he can do. There's, like, nothing, because, like, his damage has already been done in a lot of ways. He's, like, you can't...
He'll find a way to do more. Unsave his days.
But, yeah, the thing is, he will find a way to do more.
He'll find a way to do more. These people always do. And that's... I don't know, Garrison. You got a fun future to look forward to. We were good stewards of the world. Oh, buddy. Oh, man, when I was your age, the things we said about the internet were so ridiculous. My God. It was going to free humanity. It was going to be like the end of control by these corporations and evil governments. And people were going to finally be free. And knowledge was going to spread to every corner of the globe. Ah, Garrison, we were so stupid. And now your whole generation's fucked. Sorry, man.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of kids at those vaccine rallies that Eden's been appearing at.
Yeah.
And all of those pages on Facebook, most of them are moms. The ones that, you know, follow his weird conspiracy theory podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, as long as he doesn't start publicly hanging doctors, I think.
No, we're a good, I mean, God, at least 18 months away from that.
I think the fact that he is trying to move to the States is telling for what he wants to do. For, like,
oh, yeah.
Where he
no,
sees...
There's a lot of future for exact, being that yeah. guy in Los Estados Unidos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you can talk about your book. We can pivot to your book now.
No. I just want... Do you have his address, Garrison, if you dox this guy yet?
I'll talk to you after the phone call's done.
Well... This has been Behind the Bastards, the podcast where nothing good ever happens, but you keep listening anyway because you hate yourself? I don't know. Shit. That's not a good way to end a podcast episode. Sobe.
Robert?
How do we end a podcast episode?
My computer's crashing right now, so it's time.
We love about 40% mm-hmm. of you, statistically speaking.
Statistically.
Bye.
Ecumenically. Bye.